defenders of the Alliance and warriors of the Horde, heroes of Overwatch, Sanctuary, and the Koprulu Sector. This is Group Quest, a roundtable podcast from Dawnforge Productions. Join us as we gather a collection of strong voices from around the community. Now, here are our hosts, Gulvin and Joe.
And welcome back to Group Quest, everybody. Today we talk about maybe the end of BlizzCon as we know it. We open the dark portal again. And are you ready for some flying? Not football. I am Gulvin, and there we have Joe. What's on the deck for GQ2, Joe, today?
Well, one, we have maybe a pause in The Price is Right. We got two games, one slated to come out this year, one in rumor to be coming out next year, and a coach, a legendary coach, retiring. Ooh, this could be a pretty interesting conversation.
Yes. No, definitely a little juicy there.
Just a little bit.
But what have you been up to in the last couple weeks? We did have last week off because of Memorial Day, so I hope you had some nice rest there. But what have you been up to?
Pretty much nothing. I've just been collecting medical bills.
Oh, fun.
Essentially, I think I got the last two today. The first one cost about $40, and this goes all the way back to after I got my second shot. So I got $40 for one, and the actual hospital stay bill came out to about $1,100.
Ouchie.
So yeah, that was a big ouchie.
Yeah, so strange, just because of, I know here, like, it was free for everything. That's what they did. Mm-hmm. But then it's my, you know, different states do different stuff, right?
Right.
And then to kind of jump in quick there too. No, I did not win my lottery.
No, neither did I. I got three more tries.
Yes.
I got three more tries. Damn it. So, by the way, we're talking about something like the Vax-a-Million there for Ohio.
Yeah, and there's one
every
for California.
State's doing something different.
Yeah, it's the next one is, I think they said on the 11th, which is next week, is the big one where it's like 15 or 50 get 1.5 million or something like that. It's like they're doing like a lot of it. And then if you're a newly 2 million newly vaccinated people get in a pool, like if you're since the announcement you start getting vaccinated, you get a $50 gift card.
Nice.
So yeah, they're doing a lot of like cool stuff like that. But outside of that, Joe, what have you been doing in game?
In game, last week, on the stackup.org stream, I finally got into Cyberpunk 2077. Just the beginning part. Everything looks good. I'll see what happens there when I get later into the storyline as to, you know, how things play out. Did some Far Cry 5, of course. Now I have everything, or damn near everything. I decided to pay for it. And when I maxed out, I said, I'm just going to buy a whole bunch of stuff, like the vehicles, the guns, whatnot. I figured about, I want to say half or a little more than half a million to get everything. Weapons, the vehicles, helicopters, planes, all of it.
Wow.
Just to get all of that. It's and the boats. I cannot forget the boats, but all of that. And of course some Hearthstone as well. Not doing too well right now with the Enchanter's Flow mage decks. Because I think right now the glow fly swarm druid decks are quite possibly the most powerful decks right now. Okay. I think it goes that, and I think in looking at the esports play, it looks to me like Rush Warrior is also pretty powerful. And some forms of maybe, I can't think right now. I can't do Gul'dan and all that stuff. Damn it. Mm-hmm. Demon Warrior.
Yeah.
Or, you know, those decks. Those are looking really good right now. And Mage is still looking strong so long as you can find enough damage. You know, as long as you find the right minions too, and, you know, all the whatnot, the spell power minions. So, anyway, enough of my little Hearthstone rant. Gulvin, what have you been doing this week?
Well, the last couple of weeks, did the Overwatch campaign. I haven't done this week. I think this week is the last week for the archive one. So need to do that. But actually been playing some TBC Classic. Back into the Dark Portal. Did the boosted character, just you know, the free month of WoW. Looking at it, my time actually had run. I said I was running out, but actually it marked me as a different character. So I thought I did. So I was like, oh, well, I thought I paid. I said, oh, well, that's fine. I'll just go ahead and just put that in. Get the free month. So I did that. Also because of the boost, I don't have to worry about leveling professions or armor, weaponry, everything. I just go right in level 58. And so I'm like a 25% into level 58, and I'm just trying to find out what to do. It's been so long since I have leveled up there, so I'm just going to be slowly leveling a druid tank for the bunch of friends I played in retail with, and they just needed a tank, so I'll just be doing very casual, like maybe a couple, you know, maybe a raid on a Sunday or something, or some dungeons for them, and just kind of being more of a casual player. For them, just to kind of, you know, play around, have fun. And that's pretty much it. That's pretty much been my last 2 weeks outside of work. Just been relaxing and playing a little bit of game. Nothing really too crazy, which is unlike, of course, what we just had this week, which is the BlizzCon 2021 has officially been canceled. They are expecting to come out with a BlizzConline 2, sometime in early 2022 is the last thing I heard from people discussing it, but it may change. But that's what it looks like right now. BlizzCon this year is canceled for the in-person event, but they're going to look at what they can do elsewhere. I think we kind of talked about this previously, Joe. What are your like initial thoughts for the cancellation?
What is the rate of opening in California right now?
It is still, everything's still locked down, supposed to be. The mask mandate is was under review by OSHA, Cal OSHA, which is like their workers protection group for California. And they said that if one person's not vaccinated in the office, then everybody has to wear a mask and has to be provided by the employer. So they're still trying to work those things out. And so things are still kind of shut down, but most of the state is almost in like the top tier, if that makes sense, like the least restricted tier. It's hard. California is completely different because each county does its own thing.
Right, because California is just so big. It's almost kind of like what Texas is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, stuff like that. But that's kind of the point that I want to get to. Okay, because if things are still under lockdown.
You know, well, it's like not really like Japan. On lockdown. It's like restrictions, like 75%, you know, limited.
Right. Even if it's under severe enough restrictions, you're not going to be doing, you know, get-togethers. You're not going to do all this and that. And all these get-togethers have to be planned out now.
Yes.
You know, or actually about 2 months ago and announced 2 months ago. In order for, you know, all the attendees to get their plans together and, you know, plan their vacation, set money aside, blah, blah, blah.
I think that's pretty much why they're doing it myself. I think.
Right.
I think it really has to do with people that, you know, you're going to have some to come and spend a couple thousand at least for most people flying hotels, spending money to go buy the merchandise. And right now, a lot of people that might, you know, don't have that money, plus a lot of people are going to wait probably a full year to see how everything plays out this fall and how, you know, if there's boosters or anything with if they're taking a vaccine, you know, and how it plays out. So I think it's a good call on their part. Plus, you know, you don't know how until California lifts their no restrictions at all. It's, you know, back to normal. It's kind of up in the air for them. So I agree with you. I agree with you there.
Now, does this mean that would there be a BlizzCon going forward? I think BlizzCon, in essence, makes too much money in the long term.
Yeah, it has to, right?
Not in the short term, but in the long term, it wouldn't make any sense for them to just shut it down and do the whole online thing. So, once again, we'll be looking towards next year, okay, just to see how everything plays out. And I think just the way that business is going right now, I think, you know, if we get enough people vaccinated, you know, even nationwide right now, I think we'll end up being in the good.
Yeah,
so we can at least bring people in from North America and maybe still restrict from certain countries like Japan right now. So I think it'll be all right for right now. We'll have to wait and see till next year to see if we have a BlizzCon or not.
Yeah.
But if we're going to have a BlizzCon line, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. And also a lot of it too is like, they're going to have a BlizzCon and really have no product to show. That's really what we're coming to. We're coming down to where there might not be nothing. They might not have anything at all to discuss during BlizzCon. And that's why they have to wait almost a full year because, you know, like we saw already with other game companies, we're going to see, I think it's coming up this week with E3. I think E3 starts on Monday E3, which is, in case people out there aren't familiar with it, it's the gaming, like where they talk about like EA, all these big gaming companies come together.
Activision, great big gaming convention.
Yeah, Activision's going to be having stuff as well, discussing their games like Call of Duty, whatever the next one's called. But I mean, it's going to be like stuff like that. And so people know that we're going to see what kind of games are being discussed and what still have no updates, even though they said last time or 2 years ago that we're going to have an update. And it's just the way with the game and the BlizzCon. You know, it's an interesting thing to think about now because, you know, we don't know how much money they make on BlizzCon, but they must because from merchandise and they must from tickets, or else they probably would have killed it a couple of years ago it was a big hyped event. I mean, it's always packed. It's always book solid. Mm-hmm. So I think next year we will see. But yeah, I mean, I was hoping maybe for this year there might be something or slim down. They still are thinking maybe even doing a slim down in person, but it would probably just be like reporters and whatnot, influencers, you know, people that have like blogs and write ups and stuff like that might be doing a little something.
Right.
But I don't. It's probably not going to be like what we're expecting, for a BlizzCon. So sad to see, but you know, not too shocking, if that makes sense.
Just be patient.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Yeah. But the one thing you can be impatient for, which is the TBCC came out on Tuesday officially. The Dark Portal has reopened. It is open for business. You can go in right now and play Burning Crusade Classic, just like how it was back in the day. Mounting, GCDs, casting, everything back to how you're used to right now in retail versus classic. It's still completely different. Still a lot of things are not in the system. And so you can get an idea about what it was like to play then. Like I said, I haven't re-entered the Dark Portal yet. But I am leveling up right now to get to level 60. If you're a new player and you're thinking about coming in and doing a boost, I recommend leveling to 60 first, because that's how the content was done. If you're a casual player, you should probably be fine if you wanted to go in at 58 and start leveling. You probably won't finish the entire zone, like the entire world of quests, until level, you know, if you do a couple dungeons, you'll probably be fine. There is a couple dungeons that gives you an insane amount of experience that you can level up pretty quickly if you just spam dungeons. A lot of streamers did this. A lot of people trying to get the first 70 really quick did this. Overall, yeah, it's great to see it back and to see a lot of hype around it. Anything else, Joe, that you want to think about for the Dark Portal?
No, I think you pretty much covered it. Like I haven't got into it, so because like I said before, I would take WoW Classic over Burning Crusade, just because of I didn't agree with the artwork. I think primarily, especially when I got to the forest part, because I didn't like the design of like the tigers and the
Outland style.
Yes. I appreciate the artwork of the cheetah and Far Cry 5. Okay. That should have been more the artwork. It should have been more realistic.
Okay.
Okay, which is what I'm trying to get across here. So, you know, like the storyline was, like I wasn't too much into that.
Mm-hmm.
I was more happy to get through that zone and get to probably the best expansion. You know, I would still say the best expansion that Blizzard ever made.
Wrath of Lich King. Yeah, a lot of people echo that. You know, they usually say after a trilogy, the third movie is usually the better than the second one. That's usually what it is. It's definitely not everybody's cup of tea. Obviously, I have good memories from there because that's when I joined a really high end guild, a really hardcore high end guild, and was going for world first, not just server first. So we were trying to get, or at least US top ranks, and we did for a little bit until the guild kind of, you know, broke up, which, you know, happens. At that point I was in college and I actually had to, during raiding, during Sunwell actually, but it was, you know, really fun memories, a lot of good memories with friends online during that time period. And it was really exciting. So we'll see how it is though now the second time through, especially with everybody knowing how to do everything.
Yep.
And we will have to take a look and see how that goes. So if you're out there, good luck to you during the Burning Crusade. And then hopefully you're not one of these people that just got a ban that just came down from Blizzard. And this is a big one we've been talking about it for about, I think, a couple of months now, Joe, if I recall, regarding third-party programs and the automation that Blizzard said, hey, we're going to be banning this. You cannot use automation.
Yes, they did.
You can't use TOS programs for bots. You cannot use this. You cannot use it. And so people that were like, well, we'll see if we can get around it. It's like our stuff is not doing that bad, nothing that bad. And so now they went after a couple bots. I guess a couple people have been targeted. Like iMorph was targeted and console port users might be in the clear. We'll have to wait and see. And essentially what it is, that it looks like that it's just flagging controller support people as having an automation because you can't use a controller for the game. It's supposed to, so they think the program thinks it is a fake device. So which is not good, because if it's a accessibility, like some accessibility people have to do this. So Blizzard is definitely going to be changing this quickly. they do not want to get sued for being non-ADA compliant, but we will see. But they are starting to push out bans right now. iMorph and console port, some have been overturned on appeal. But they are doing this third-party programming and getting banned, so be wary out there and do not use anything.
Yep, and I would agree with that. First off, if anybody is playing Burning Crusade, let us know. Okay, and your thoughts on that, Burning Crusade Classic.
Yes.
As far as what this goes, you have to expect, when you're putting out massive bans, you have to expect that some people will be putting out appeals. Okay, because some people, they need like a console port.
Well, they need like a third-party device because they can't use a keyboard physically.
Right. And that is something that Blizzard has to be very cognizant of. They just can't say, okay, here's a third-party site. Okay, we need to ban it. Okay. Some people do need these outside sources in order to play games. Okay. As well, you guys know, I am a part of stackup.org, and one of these things that we do is we don't provide the third-party sources, but we make sure that people are able to game. Okay, because a lot of the people that we serve are physically unable to like even pick up a milk jug. Okay, until they get the appropriate attachments to their arms or to their feet in order to do things. Some people only play controllers with their feet because they don't have hands.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, exactly. And then one thing too is that it looks like that the bans might be related to WoW Mapper, which is a third party emulation software that Blizzard has in their ban list. Mainly, this is for for classic games because it doesn't have the support in the code for, so they have to use something to get around it. But the author of console port said that they're basically support one of those supported, plugins, add-ons for WoW, so most likely this will get unflagged for the false positive if it actually is that way. Again, right. Some people though might be using this as a workaround, right? They're like, oh, we'll use this software and then do multi-box and like hook in our own stuff, so it'll flag it as that. But we'll wait and see. But yeah, I mean, it's very important to have the accessibility, especially during these times for people that do need it. So hopefully you're not affected out there.
Right.
And with that, we will let you all know out there listening that we have a Patreon. Right, Joe?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we have a Patreon. So if you go to the Patreon, patreon.com/thegroupquest, you can join up and get access to our Discord as a special role, even up to Group Quest 2, which is our secondary channel where we talk about modern day topics for just a brief bit after each show here. And also, you can even become a guest on the show for a week if you would like, Q&As with the host, and even join some great giveaways that we have planned, ready for people to come on in and join those tiers. And you can, a lot of different tiers, a lot of different items on each one. Feel free to go check it out, again, at patreon.com/thegroupquest. All the proceeds go to helping improve the quality of the show. Please join up and thank you for your time. I guess I don't know. I always feel so strange how to end this. It feels like I feel like I should have a collared shirt on with a tie. but yeah, anything to help the show is greatly appreciated.
Yes.
Because we will have to join in, which you kind of touched on at the top, Joe, with some great Hearthstone news that came out today. It was actually a couple days ago. And that is the mini set Wailing Caverns is coming out. Launched on the 3rd, consists of 35 distinct cards and can be obtained from the Forge and the Barons card pack, which is, of course, the 66 card set with Forge legendaries, one epic, 14 rares, etc. But you can also purchase from the in-game web shops for either 2,000 gold or 1499 gold. So you can go in there and buy it for gold or real world money. They have a list of which ones are in there. some unique cards from Wailing Caverns, so some people that you've seen before. I always like the Wailing Caverns because it's like the people have like no gear, but they act all important, like the bosses, right? Yeah. It's usually one of the known dungeons that both sides have to go to. It's like one of the big dungeons too, as well. So if you're coming in fresh for the first time ever, you get that experience of going through the Barrens and then going through Wailing Caverns. Your thoughts, though, Joe, on the cards that are in the deck?
Here is what I have seen in the meta during the esports tournament that's going on right now. Okay, I've seen some Meeting Stones. And the Meeting Stones, they put up a lot of these tutus, like there's Taunt, Divine Shield, Spell Damage, you know, so on and so forth. So, and I've seen more poisonous than what I have anything else, personally, after I've seen the Meeting Stone. Another thing, major I've seen, Mutanus the Devourer. If you're facing someone that's got minions in their hand, you play that card, one of those minions will be gone. The death rattles will be erased. You know, any of the special abilities will be erased if you play Mutanus. Because what that does is it eats an enemy's minion in the hand. Not on the playing field, not in the deck, in the hand, and gains those stats. And that thing has missed more often when I've actually seen it hit in the esports play. But still, it shows the definite potential for that card. So yes, I paid 2,000 gold for it. We'll see how it plays out, definitely. But I've also seen, Kresh out there as well. And Kresh has not really impressed me a whole lot. But still, there's a lot of really good stuff.
Yeah, like the one I like is the Venom Strike bow, which is a poisonous bow. You can also give a friendly beast poison for Hunter. Like, I mean, to me, I think like there's a lot of good new cards that they've added in, just to make it a little more balanced. Of course for rogues, you never want them to draw minions, and now you can draw two minions with a three card for Strata Concealment, and any played this turn gains stealth for one turn. So I'm thinking of like the rogue combo rogue will be a really good, option here. It's really good though, too, that they're adding in more cards that are with, just fun cards to me, like just make it more flavorful. And also because of the cost of it being low in the current packs, it's really, really good out there for what Blizzard is doing. Anytime that there's gold instead of money, I'm happy about, because, it allows people to play the game and then not spend money on it. If you're out there, hopefully you will enjoy it. So it's a good little mini set that is out for Hearthstone. So glad to see that they're keeping adding content that is unique, different, improves the game. Any Indeed. Last words, Joe, on Hearthstone?
Nope. I think we covered that part. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Well, and then the one thing just to touch on too, we talked about BlizzCon right at the top. It's going to be curious about Hearthstone, because that seems like that's the one that they are always like just churning out expansions and packs and everything, adventures. I wonder how this is going to be affected now going through the next year. It seems like, except for the Burning Crusade, it seems like a little lull. We will have to see though, because in case you're out there wondering, what Blizzard, we've been talking about, right? A lot of Blizzard guys leaving, joining other ventures. Well, Frost Giant Studios, which was, of course, the first studios to come together, that is the group of StarCraft devs that, we used to work on StarCraft, and they formed their own studio. Well, they have teamed up with Dreamhaven, surprise, surprise, Mike Morhaime's studio. They have teamed up, It is very, people are already speculating that it's already going to be an RTS, StarCraft style, not StarCraft, but something similar. And so what it is that they've teamed up in an advisory capacity, and they're going to do with a product development consultation. They're going to pre-production feedback and play testing. So pretty much, you know, Dreamhaven is a newer company, but Mike Morhaime knows RTS. I mean, you know, knows RTS and everything like that. And so it's, you know, what the one thing too is with that they're teaming up with Unreal Engine 5, which is the newest, one of the newest engines. Really cool. And so it's going to be next generation RTS. I'm very, very excited about how this is going to happen, and very curious too. And I know, even though we do mainly talk about Activision / Blizzard games, mainly Blizzard games here, it's always good to keep your eye on a, you know, team of basically Blizzard employees, like Blizzard 2 or Blizzard North type of a thing, and to see what kind of games they're producing, because that might also affect what Blizzard does on their end. Any thoughts, Joe?
One thing that people need to realize is how close consoles have been getting in artwork to PCs.
Oh, yeah.
Unreal Engine is really good. This is not a surprise, really. The fact that you have Frost Giant teaming up with Dreamhaven, you know, the resources, they all come back together. The old boys coming back together. Yes, there's speculation for an RTS. You also have to take a look at the people, you know, the potential players, and how much of a market there would be for an RTS.
Yeah, there's nothing. There isn't. I mean, look at the last one that I know of, which I actually need to look into, is Command & Conquer Remastered just came out a little while ago, and apparently that's supposed to be actually pretty good, and there's enough community that's like kind of like do Command & Conquer games, and or, you know, Generals is one of my favorite games I played, RTS, before getting into Warcraft and then StarCraft. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like, you know, you have the XCOM style, which is good, which people like. You have the roguelikes, which is like, you know, the old school style crawlers. And then MMOs are actually kind of getting out of flavor right now. Because everybody wants to go to quick, easy games. And, you know, an RTS is a quick, easy game.
So, you know, we'll see how that goes, but I don't know. There is an ebb and flow to things.
Mm-hmm.
So when a new game comes out, you know, we'll see how they do.
Yep.
But right now, the potential is there, and that's what we're looking at, and it looks really good.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's one of those games where, I mean, one of those things that they've released that is very curious to me. I don't know. I have a good feel. I don't know about you, Joe, but I think if this is a hit for Mike Morhaime and Frost Giant, if they come together here and it's a hit, I'm going to be very curious about what's next in the pipeline for Dreamhaven. And if they're just going to be this role, they're going to be like the Midas Touch, right? They're going to go around all these mini studios and touch the game, and like be like, okay, we'll help you here. We'll support you. We'll give you the oversight that you need, because we can do that because we ran Blizzard, so we know how to pipeline these projects. You know, if that is the case, then it's like I have more faith in what's going to be coming out and a good next good game that's going to be, you know, big game. Of course, it's not really Blizzard related, but, you know, to me, it basically is old Blizzard,
right?
Old Blizzard related.
Right. But the quality is going to be there.
Yes.
And essentially
storytelling, you know, meaningful storytelling, you know, even though I'm not saying that the current, you know, system is bad storytelling that's in WoW, but, or in any of the other games, it's just that they have very meaningful that, you know, storytelling, and we will have to wait and see, but, you know, always good to see that there with a competitor, and just keep your eyes on, because
we'll be looking at different titles, I think.
Yeah, which is great. A great segue into the next article that we have here that came out last week, actually. And there's actually a slew of these. So this is one I just picked up because I thought it was pretty cool looking. It looked like it was more done well by the person. And there's actually a a D&D camp adaptation of World of Warcraft called The Champions of Azeroth, and it was by a Redditor started it, and it's a super detailed homebrew 5e World of Warcraft campaign and storytelling of the 5e, which is covers the classic and Outland and Burning Crusade elements into the D&D campaign. And it comes with a bunch of stuff. It looks like a classic D&D. You have all the races in there. It just kind of goes, if you like D&D, if you're a D&D player out there and you're also a World of Warcraft fan out there, this is a great thing to look at. It's really well done. And just something cool, something different, you know, because, you know, we always talk about games like, you know, where everybody's being virtual, and you can do virtual D&D as well. And so this is just something, if you, you know, you're tired of playing a video game, you can still have fun in the atmosphere and in the World of Warcraft universe by playing something that's more Dungeons and Dragons, which everybody kind of knows from Stranger Things, which is where it was pretty big there in that one. So, or Critical Role, if you watch any of that on Twitch or anything.
Yes.
That's kind of like, yeah, those, that's D&D. So if you know Critical Role and you don't know it's D&D and you like watching it or you have it on the background, that is D&D. And this is a WoW flavored version. So always good
critical
for the community.
Role, Roll 20.
Yeah.
All those things are just really, really good. And really, if you look back at what Critical Role has done, you know, with Warlords of Draenor, and not just that, I'm thinking Battle for Azeroth. When they did the kind of the in between, and I remember if you look up Critical Role with Terry Crews.
Oh.
Okay. That was some really good stuff right there. That was good. That was good cheese. That was really good cheese right there.
Mm-hmm.
Just the interactions between the players, between all the different stuff, and Critical Role also does stuff for Diablo and StarCraft too. So definitely check them out.
The Diablo one they just did at this BlizzCon line, which they just did as well. That's D&D. So if you're out there and you watched, maybe you watched, that was the first insight you had into it. Also, congratulations to Critical Role. I forgot to mention that they just wrapped up their campaign 2. I'm actually watching campaign 1. I'm only a few episodes in still because it's enormous and it's a lot of time. But I've been listening to it at work. I've just been super busy at work. Usually I like listening to it at work though. And but yeah, campaign 2, they just finished up their second campaign. I know they have an animation series on the way. They're pretty much like one of the behemoths out there. Great people that are on the staff there. Matthew Mercer, if you're unaware, is the DM or the GM of it, of the series. And so it's a lot of good people there. They do a lot of great causes as well for charity. They do just a great group of people, and glad to see that that's there. So this is kind of like, if you were thinking of doing something, that's something to think about.
Indeed.
And with that, we will be right back after this.
Arrgh, laddie. What you be doing over there? You be not be digging up treasure, are ya?
Captain. We be finding stuff for our phones.
What you be talking about your phones? What you be thinking? What you be looking at?
We be listening to Audible, Captain.
On your phone? What you be talking on your phone for? What you be saying?
No, we be listening to different audiobooks up on Audible.
Well, how did you get to these audiobooks, laddie? What you be looking? What you be seeing? What you be hearing?
Captain, just go to bit.ly/GQReads2020. You be hearing some audiobooks for yourself. There might be some pirate ones up there you might into.
Oh, laddie. I be thinking about that. bit.ly/GQReads2020. All right. This might be a crappy promo, but I'll try it anyway.
And we're back. And so
pirates.
and books. Pirates and books. Two of the favorite things.
Yes, they don't go together.
Yeah. Exactly. but I think you might be able, I think you can, I think they might have D&D. I know we're talking about D&D books, D&D before. I think they even have that on Audible, so you might be able to get a free D&D campaign from there. I'd have to double check. They probably do. They have almost everything there. So if, if you're curious in a book. But if you're not curious in audiobooks or books in general, and you want to get right back to the games, well, you're in luck because the 9.1 PTR has been updated with some new cool features, which I really wanted to highlight here, which I'm actually really excited about, and that is the reconnect button. And so now, for the first time ever, when you get knocked out to the game, if you get disconnected in any way, and before you close the game, you can hit a button and it will reconnect you. So you don't have to actually close the, like, you know, if you like have to go somewhere, you have to go to the store, get something to eat, you know, you have to go pick someone up somewhere, or you just fall asleep at your desk waiting for something and you wake back up or you come back in and you're disconnected. You have to close the game out because if you don't have your password saved, and then launch the launcher back up. Now you can press the button and it'll automatically reconnect you in 9.1. And that is what has just gone in this week. So really good one there, along with some buffs and I think mainly buffs. It looks like it has mainly been buffs on there. But the biggest one, also the Torghast system has been updated a little bit. They have some new layers on there. You know, the four new layers for more challenging 9 through 12 on Torghast. A lot of cool stuff that they're adding in it. But the biggest one was that reconnect. Joe, your thoughts there?
I would agree that the reconnect ones are pretty big because, yeah, let's say that your power went out or your battery backup went to crap, you know, and you have to shut everything down real quick and then you turn everything back on after you're all nice and stable again. You don't lose anything. It's right there. You can just reconnect. You don't have to worry about passwords or nothing.
Well, you do. Your battle.net has to be open, I think.
Right, right. But if it's open, you're just back in. You're back in. That's good. I'm looking through this stuff right now, and I'm like,
yeah, I mean, the main thing is they have the reconnect one more, and some of the buffs that they had, like Mistweaver, Soothing Mist is no longer interrupted by Manatee or Zen Focus T, excuse me, a nice little buff, but most of them are bug fixes that they had well, so nothing really too big out there that they did a change for, but overall a good one.
Yeah, Torghast is really about the biggest one there for me because, you know, if your floors, you want to reduce the number of floors because they're getting, like, too big. And I think that's what Blizzard's trying to say here is the floors are getting too big, so we're going to reduce them down from 6 to 5. I think that's going to be pretty good there for players.
Well, and the one thing that they added, too, for Soul Ash now is transferable, so that's great for alts. If you're level 9 or above, it's pretty much level, but it's layer 9 is what they're calling it. And so if you're layer 9 or higher, you can actually transfer your soul ash to another character on the account by seeking out the Bonesmith Heimer, Aramir, in Corithia. So you can actually transfer it. So that's really cool there for some soul ash if you need to transfer it. Great for alts. And so it makes it to where hopefully it'll speed up your leveling experience. I'm trying to see if there's anything else. A lot of stuff, some storyline too with the campaign, which we're not talking about, obviously. But yeah, overall, really cool
spell
stuff.
Changes and all that stuff. Yeah, it's too much to go over. Really, that's a whole nother show, I think.
Yeah, but yeah, overall, you know, it's good that they're doing updates, and so we'll have to keep check for 9.1. Because also what happened this week is Brian Holinka had an interview to discuss the PvP in 9.1 and Shadowlands PvP, and kind of had just a little one-on-one question there of how PvP is. The one thing that jumped out to me, which is the biggest thing that people wanted to talk about, is rating decay. And Holinka doesn't really like the idea of rating decay because he doesn't think they should be punished for, you know, doing something that's not the game, right? And so for that, it's like what will happen there, though, is that people go in, they'll play for a week, and then they won't play again just to get the high rating. And but that makes sense. I mean, that would be like something like me. If I want to get to the rating I want to just do it and not have to worry about having being forced to come back and do it. And I think that's a good idea that that Brian is enforcing there. And you know, there's also that mind control bug that that is in there right now, which was in the I think it was the MDI, which is or the big push or whichever one they just recently had, which is pretty big. And so that's they're aware of it and fixing it. And overall, some good thoughts on how Blizzard is thinking for 9.1. Obviously, earning conquest is always difficult, so they're trying to think of a way of having a catch up experience for people. And so they're just trying to figure out like what's the best way to make people feel okay with having to, you know, level up the conquest or earning conquest if they need to catch up if they're coming back after not playing for the full expansion. Anything that jumped out to you, Joe?
One of the things that I did catch up on because I listened to the whole thing, and that's a solo quay. And really, they were talking about the problems of okay, you're lined up with you know, healers, or you're lined up in, you know, you're a healer yourself, and you know maybe there's too many of those, and you're lined up with like, too many tanks, and they're gonna go in there and they're gonna try and fix it to where everybody has an even composition. Okay, and I don't think there's a. I think it's a really good idea. Okay. But it's going to be very interesting to me to see how everything plays out in these different compositions. Okay. So if you're queuing in for, you know, a big battleground type PvP event, that is going to be, you know, very, very interesting. You know, 5v5, 10v10. You know, it really depends on what goes on because, you know, it's still Horde versus Alliance. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the right composition, like if you have too many balanced druids, okay, you're going to lose. If you got too many, you know, frost mages or too many rogues. Well, then again, you can't have too many rogues because rogues are just stun. but still, if the composition is off, you know, you got to have an equal balance to have a really good fight. And I think that's, I think that is what Blizzard's trying to get at here. So, we have seen Blizzard's execution in the past. Sometimes they hit it, sometimes they don't. But the idea here is really, really good.
Yeah, and the one thing too is they need to. It's hard for them to you know do things quickly. They try to, but the one thing that they touched on as well is how burst is in the game, and you know trying to adjust it with cooldown sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. You know, it's always going to be hard for them to work around those one shot type of scenarios, right? Because it could just be this weapon with this class, with this cooldown, with this crit can just one shot someone. And it's like a 1 in 20 chance it happens. But of course, when it happens to you, it sucks and you're mad, but there's really nothing they can do on that. Those type of things sometimes,
right?
You can't rule around that one person or that one cooldown rotation. You just have to know as a defending player it happening to or could happen to that's there, and that's I kind of agree with that kind of philosophy to an extent, but you know that what they do is they want to also they mentioned about the time, how long it takes for with healing, how healing is in games, that they want to have it to where each game is rough of a 3v3 is roughly around 3 to 5 minutes, maybe 6 minutes at the most. They don't want these 15-20 minute games. That can happen if you have certain healing specs, that just becomes you're just sitting there running around, and it's like you know the healer can run away and drink mana and get mana back up, or they have some mana innate ability, you know, to get mana to come back up and then heal everybody, and it just is like you're sitting there trying to fight each other forever. you know, they will try to make it to where it limits it. And if that happens to be healing reduction, then that's what they're going to be doing. But yep. Outside of that, though, really great to see them talking about PvP. You know, usually we don't talk about it too much here, so always good to talk about it.
Indeed.
Because after you PvP or on your way to PvP, you can stop in and in 9.1 get some flying. Yes, flying is coming in 9.1, and they've Blizzard has released a little guide on what to do before then. So what to do is, now getting conflicting reports about this, I was looking right before the show, but what it sounds like is they have lowered it. But what it is that you have to reach level 40 of renown with your covenant, and you have to complete the campaign, and that is it. But it looks like there's a quest that you'll have to do in order to get that with your covenant. You'll get a quest that will award you the flying and a mount with it. So make sure you get your covenant up. I have seen another one where, I mean, renown, excuse me. I have seen another article where renown has to be level 59, but that might have been an old article, so don't touch me. I was looking right before the show because I wanted to be sure, because I thought it was a lot higher than 40, but they recommend getting to level 40. And then so that way when before Change of Domination goes live, so that way your efforts can go directly into the levels that will become available with the content update. Okay, so yeah, it is going to be higher. But the main thing is just getting to the last chapter unlocked, right. Chapter 12 unlocks at renown level 44. That's what I was thinking of.
Right, because your max renown now is what?
I'm not sure because I'm not max renown.
I think it is 40. So I think what they're saying is right now, for you to get ready for it, before it drops, get the entire campaign done, get to renown, or get your max renown. So I know one of my characters.
It is just four, level 40. Renown. It's level 40. Yep.
I'm at max renown, and I have the entire storyline so far for that region.
I think I'm like 17. I think that's where I'm at. But again, I haven't really done. I just got leveled up. I did a little bit of playing. I did some raids, and that's pretty much it. Like, I haven't done too much.
It's not that hard. It's basically there's two weekly quests outside of the storyline stuff. Okay, one is for your anime collection. And the other is souls you need to find.
Your anime, you mean anima?
Your anima.
Not my anime collection. That's a pretty vast collection already.
Yeah. We're not talking about Japanese stuff. Okay. It's basically just those two things. Okay. So if you collect souls, okay, out in the mall. And if you do your weekly quest to get the magic regents, that is what you need to do, and that will get you 2 renowned a week. Okay, and along now with, if you haven't done the storyline stuff, then that will get you more renown. Okay, and a lot of the storyline stuff is a lot of, I think some of it is gear related.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make sure that your gear, you get not really high-end level gear, but make sure you got the minimum level.
Yes.
Okay, and then everything will be good. So
basically you want to get max level, that way you can get to level 45, which is when the last one opens up while you're doing the new content. So I think that's really what they want to say is like, hey, you cannot be level max level when the new content comes out, but it's gonna be a lot easier to finish the storyline and finish the get the renown that you do need in your campaign quest in order to get the new mount and to get flying. Mm-hmm. But it's coming. It's like it's here. Now, of course, when that happens, we don't know. Right? We don't know when 9.1 is happening. There's a lot of speculation. It's gonna happen in about a month or so. But we will have to wait and see. but at least get started now, which makes me think I have to get started because I definitely like flying. Oh, and also one thing too is that you can get for all your classes, for all your characters, will be able to get the last sigil storyline. Once you complete that, then you will get a reward, Memories of Sunless Skies, that will give you a consumable that allows all your characters to purchase flying. So coming in with an alt, you can fly,
yes.
Which is thank you. I'll definitely be doing that to level up alts. And so that's for 9.1, that's what's also coming in play. Just to let you guys
know. And really, too, if one of your characters flying, they all need to fly.
Yes.
They should all fly.
Well, I understand, but then I don't understand why Blizzard has always been, over the years, been like so anti-alt. I mean, I understand in a business way because, you know, you want people to keep playing, right? You want them to take the slow route because it keeps them longer subbed. But then what it does is people won't be subbed because they're like, oh, I'm not going to do an alt because there's no reason for me to do it. It's going to take too long. And so it's like it's one of those double swords that Blizzard always does over the years. And so hopefully, you know, this is a good start. We'll have to have to wait and see, but just get on out there and get ready for some flying. It's happening. But what also is happening is that the raid nerfs are happening. So that always lets you know that, hey, we might be getting closer to 9.1, which we've been talking. It's like all the stuff we've been echoing over the last few months, Joe, has now starting to come to play. And mm-hmm. this one now is that the boss has been nerfed. Now it ends when his health reaches 37, which is now 40. And then reaches 37, which was 40, so it actually you can get them lower, which will make it easier for the phases to jump to the last phase, which is the harder phase. Mm-hmm. So even though it's not nerfing it, it's not making it nerfed as far as the health is concerned. What they're doing is they're making it more forgiving for people because the last phase is just you run out of space. It's one of those spatial things, and it's difficult. And mm-hmm. so what they're doing is just trying to make it so that the last phase is shorter.
Right.
And so it's going to be, it's really, really cool that they're allowing that to happen. And I mean, pretty much overall, it's just the nerfs are coming and it's going to be happening. It is live. Is actually live right now. Let's see. It is actually live. It should be live right now in there as well. So if you did raid, you'll probably already, this is old news to you, but if you haven't, the nerf is live on Mythic. Sire Nathrius, blah, blah, blah. Sire, whatever his name is.
And basically the reason why is so that all these lower end guilds can catch up.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that it is.
Yeah. Yeah. They want everybody to beat Mythic if you're doing it.
Yes. Yes, they do. And that's essentially what they want to do.
Yeah. Cause nothing will really kill a guild, which has happened to mine in the past, is if it's like end of a raid tier, and you haven't defeated the last boss of the previous raid tier by that time, because Blizzard is always so low, it can really hurt your guild. It can actually kill your guild, and it killed one of mine, because people are just like, well, we can't even kill this. How are we going to do the next one that comes out? It's even harder, and we can't even kill this one. It's not worth playing. And so there's a lot of people that are on there that are around that are like that. And so allowing it to be nerfed sooner is one thing I always think they should do faster, in my opinion. But again, I'm not in the battle. So, you know, a lot of guilds aren't the top tier, Echo. Well, Method, I guess they're back now. Echo and Limit, you know, they're not big like those, or the big dumb guild. They're not big up there. And so we'll have to wait and see. But overall, it is good to see. And I'm mm-hmm. very happy about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, but I know one person that is extremely happy, and that is someone that finally got every single achievement that has been available on their character during patch 9.0, surpassing 36,000 achievement points. And it is a player from BR from the guild Disney World, which I think is hilarious. And what's funny is that there's actually more achievements to be earned, as each covenant has their own set of covenant specific achievements, but because they technically, if they stayed in that covenant, they would, the game in-game UI doesn't reflect this. You can see that the progress on the battle.net armory under expansion options, These achievements can be all completed with a single character as long as you swap covenants and rebuild the covenant feature buildings. So what they did is, like, they just went through the full time. They got everything at all across the board for achievements. But what you have to do is go back in. And again, these are ones that you can get, like the 1s out of 1, 3 out of 3. They're not like all of them from beginning of time. It's just that all the achievements have been earned for the character. So really, really congrats to them on getting that. And so it's difficult. That is very difficult to get all the achievements.
Yes, this is insanity right here. Still, well done to Billiam.
Yeah, Billiam from Disney World, which I that's just hilarious to me. And the one thing, though, too, is that they were able to get Adventures into the Breach. There have been a lot of people close to this getting all the achievements, but it's random spawns in the maw for the missions from the mission table. So they just have to literally hope that it spawns. So that would really suck if there's someone like right behind this person. They're like, oh, come on. And it's like they don't get the right one.
Spawn, damn it, spawn. Show up, come on, damn it, come on.
But congrats to them. And you know, kind of shows that, you know, 9.1 can't get here fast enough if people are able to get all these max achievements, right? I mean, you want the game to come quickly. It's one of those understandable things of pandemic plus, you know, but I mean, even if you think about it, we're getting close to a year since the game launched when they wanted to originally launch it. And yet the 9.1's not out yet. That's kind of rough for that. So we will have to wait and see, though. But Joe, any thoughts on that?
Nope. I think we covered what we need to cover there. The only thing that you can say is congratulations.
Yes.
That's it.
I had a lot of time, too. That is a lot of playing the game to get that.
My God. That's insanity.
Yeah, I would never be able to do that. Like some of them are just like either too difficult for me, or I just do not have the wherewithal to be able to sit there and be like, I would just be so frustrated. I'm already getting frustrated just even thinking about it, and I haven't even done the achievement yet. I'm frustrated just thinking about it.
That should be like free money to the person that does it.
Yes.
That actually completes all of the achievements. that should be like 1 month paid.
Yeah.
I think totally. That should be 1 month paid subscription right there.
Well, I mean, 1 year, actually. I think it would be good for like or 1 year.
Or 1 year.
You know, because, you know, obviously they're playing the game. They obviously pay. I mean, more than likely, though, this person probably doesn't pay for the subscription, which is, you know, one of the good things what they did with the WoW token. Yep. But at least it's like, you know, offer them something for it, you know.
Yes. Indeed. One year, one month, one year, you know, whatever. Just give them something like really good.
Yeah.
Or maybe like a statue up in your front.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be pretty cool.
That would be.
But with that, Joe, I think we're going to wrap it up here today. Anything, unless you have any last thoughts?
Nope, I think we got it all done, sir.
Hey, well then, how can people find you on the internet?
I am at Joe Brumser on Twitter, twitch.tv/JoeSpace, which is where we usually do the show anyway, and twitch.tv/stackup.org, probably more cyberpunk till I'm sick of it. So, Golvin, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on Twitter at GolvinVersus, youtube.com/GolvinVersus, where I have all my archive videos that I've done over the years. Twitch.tv/Golvin, where I have started streaming Shadowlands because I got my computer upgraded a little bit for that to be able to do some streaming. So I did some Shadowlands. TBCC is probably what I'll primarily do there, just, you know, playing the game, just checking it out. And then, of course, MonkCraftPodcast.com, where I talk about Monk stuff within the next, probably when they have the announcement for 9.1, I'll try to get something together for that. But if you want to get in contact with the show, you can reach us on show@thegroupquest.com, on Twitter @GroupQuest, and of course patreon.com/thegroupquest to join us on Patreon. And for Joe and for myself, we'll see you on the other side of a place long time ago in a world far, far away.
You have been listening to Group Quest. The theme music was Intended Force from Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. For more information and other great shows, point your web browser to thegroupquest.com. Follow the show on Twitter at GroupQuest.
I'm Brian Black from the Realm Maintenance Podcast, and for over 7 years, I've been tracking podcasts covering your favorite Blizzard games. Warcraft, Starcraft, Diablo, Overwatch, Heroes of the Storm, Hearthstone. People are talking about these games every week, and Realm Maintenance has been around to help you find your favorites, perhaps add some new shows to your playlist, and learn more about the creators behind the microphone. In 2020, Realm Maintenance is proud to continue on as part of Warcraft Radio. You can listen to new episodes of Realm Maintenance on all major podcast platforms at the end of each month. Each show includes multiple interviews with podcasters and other content creators, along with a recap of all of the biggest episodes from your favorite Blizzard game podcasts, and occasionally information about new shows to check out that you might have not known about before. You can follow at Realm Podcast on Twitter for show news and updates, and for my weekly podcast roundup articles and a directory with links to over 100 shows covering all Blizzard Entertainment franchises, visit Warcraft Radio at warcraftradio.com.
This show is brought to you by StackUp.org. Do you want to help out veterans? To do so, go to StackUp.org. There you will find out ways you can help veterans out. We start out with supply crates. Crates are delivered to veterans who have served or are serving their countries now. Air assaults are our way to get veterans back into the populace by sending them to places like BlizzCon and E3. The stacks are smaller groups in more local locations, such as Pennsylvania, or Pittsburgh, or Columbus, Los Angeles. The big one is our Overwatch program, where we confront mental health issues like PTSD. Mental health issues are the biggest thing that confront veterans on a daily basis. If you want to help us out, go to stackup.org, click the donate button up in the upper right, or you can be a part of the StackUp stream team. You can join our Overwatch program and help out all the people with issues, mental health issues. And you can also raise money if you're streaming a social platform. Just make sure that you go to stackup.org first and get with one of the managers. And remember, veterans are our mission. Gaming is our passion. Just go to stackup.org for more information.
This podcast is part of the Dawnforge Network. Copyright 2020.